You are listening to RNIB Connect Radio, and it's time to talk Blind Barbie and its significant milestone and launch recently. And someone who has been working in the campaign of the launch of Blind Barbie is Lucy Edwards, a broadcaster, journalist, content creator, speaker and disability activist. And Lucy Edwards joins us now. Lucy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm just so excited to be Barbie's ambassador. It's like a pinch me moment. So yeah, it's just such a cool campaign. So thank you for having me on.
How did you feel when you heard that Blind Barbie is being launched? How did that feel?
When I first got the call from my management team a couple of months back, I couldn't believe it at all. The significance of having a Barbie with a long white cane, it just blows my mind. I think back to over 12 years ago when I lost my eyesight at 17, but even littler than that, you know, I found out about my visual impairment when I was 8 years old. So if there was a blind Barbie back then, I know for certain that I would have accepted my visual impairment and then ultimately my blindness a lot quicker.
So when you held Blind Barbie for the first time, when you met Barbie for the first time, how did that feel?
It was a moment. I think for me, because there's not as much representation in our popular culture of blindness, I did burst into tears. I think holding her and thinking, wow, there's actually a cane that's an accessory now that you could, like, if you wanted to, match to Barbie's handbag. And I think there's so many kids that, I mean, I go into schools all the time to speak, to do pro bono work. And, you know, the one thing that kids say to me is, you know, I hate my cane. I hate the way it looks. I hate being different. And I say to them, look, we can glitz and glamour it. We can put some sequins on. We can put keyrings on, you know, learn to love it and learn to be different, because being different is amazing. And I think, you know, when I held Barbie, like, I thought about all of those conversations that I'd had with all the kids that I see. You know, it means so much to them that, you know, a cane is something that is in popular culture and that is seen as, you know, just a standard thing to own and not something as different. We can say as much as we want, you know, being different is amazing. And I know that as a 28-year-old, but with kids, like, you just want to fit in with your friends. And I think that's what Barbie does. It encourages play. It encourages all of these things. And I think that's what I thought when I held her. Like, the thought of just having her in the world now is just so much better for representation.
How significant do you think it will be for children with sight loss to be able to have Blind Barbie and be able to say to, you know, their friends, look, this is Blind Barbie. You know, how important is this?
It means that they can open up a conversation that they might not be able to articulate yet with their friends about their disability. I think that's number one, because, you know, I know that when I was losing my eyesight at like 11, I couldn't properly articulate what I could see, you know, how it was affecting me, why I was going through this. All of these different things would flood my mind. And I thought, well, I can't really tell my friends. It's awkward. It's this, it's that. And you tell yourself these so many things. And I think Blind Barbie is a way to be like, no, look, this is me and this is my cane. And it's a really simple way of just introducing people to the idea, because I think stereotypes come from not knowing, and stereotypes and lack of knowledge come from not understanding either. And I think number two about this point is that kids who, you know, haven't grown up with blind parents, don't understand blindness or understand how it affects us, can now play with something that is just, you know, if something's just in your life without prior knowledge of like anything about the world, you're just like, oh, well, this is normal. I think the stereotypes and like ostracization, is that a word, comes with our community when you just know nothing about something. And then that leads you to like, you need the question answering, like, how does a blind person pour a cup of water? Or how do you, you know, go to the toilet? Or all these crazy questions I get asked on my videos, which I don't mind answering, because I know that, you know, we didn't have that education. But I'm hoping from the ground up now, because we have Barbie being blind, we're going to get less and less of these questions, and we're just going to be seen as equal.
So we've mentioned, you know, the cane, a very significant part of the design of Blind Barbie. But what other parts of the design do you think are significant in terms of the representation of the blind and partially sighted community?
I think all of her is massive. I mean, Barbie team consulted with you guys at the RNIB, but also the American Foundation of the Blind when talking about Barbie's dress and how she d is designed. So we've got the cane, we've got her sunglasses because blindness is a spectrum, and that's what I always say. I'm totally blind, but obviously that's only 10% of our community. We're so wide and vast, and there's people out there that do need sunglasses to shade them with light sensitivity. So that's a really cool design. I remember feeling like really, sad that I had to wear sunglasses sometimes in my sight loss journey, and it's lovely that she has them on. Her eye gaze is slightly different, so I always like it because I love the way that my right eye gazes off to the side a little bit now. It's been blind for the longest, so it is kind of veering, and it's something that people maybe, if they want to be unkind to me in my comments, say, but I'm like, oh, well, I don't see it as an unkind comment. Like, I love my eye being like that, so I love that Barbie is. But again, like, not all eye gazes are like that. We all look different, but it's lovely that that's a representation. And then we've got her clothes. So what's really lovely about her clothes is that they're tactile. She's got this little rah-rah skirt on, and it's just beautiful. The chiffon on it and the different textures, the AFB have consulted really well. And then, it's easy just basically to take off. It's like a loop string. And I think that's what I found when I was younger, when I was losing my eyesight, that I couldn't get, I couldn't see tiny little fiddly things like traditionally Barbie's clothes would be to take them off and on. And that's one of the main parts about playing with Barbie, understanding your own body as well. I think it's really interesting. And the Velcro at the back of her top is just really easy. And I just love the high colour contrast as well. So they have tried to think of everything, but I'm here to think, oh, what else can we do? And I'm like, maybe we could do a glittery cane next. Maybe we could do like different cane tips because I know she's got a marshmallow tip. But what else can we do? Maybe even a guide dog. All of my commenters on the announcements yesterday were like, where's Miss Molly as a guide dog? I was like, oh, yeah, that's true. We could maybe do that. So, I mean, watch this space. They're so open to ideas.
We've talked about starting a conversation for kids to start a conversation with their peers about sight loss and things like that. But how do you think the release of Blind Barbie will contribute to the broader conversation of disability representation in the toy market and the media?
I think, there's so much tokenism out there, and this is not that. Traditionally and historically, we've had representation within our pop culture and media that is possibly inspiration porn, a term coined by the late Stella Young. And she says, she had a lot of kind of dealings with people kind of saying to her, oh, you're so inspirational for just getting out of bed. And then that's kind of formed a narrative around maybe like the Paralympics, where we have like people called superheroes and not seeing their ability, and seeing the ability and disability, just seeing kind of what inspiration we can lend to our able-bodied peers. And I think tokenism, it drives that really. We've seen campaigns where brands haven't wanted to be behind the scenes, consulting people with lived experience, and that's when they've run into problems. But now I think that, the most popular doll in the world having a visual impairment, and Barbie and Mattel saying, no, we've consulted people, American Foundation for the Blind and the RNIB in the top countries that we're selling this Barbie. We've consulted many blind people. We care about lived experience. That is what matters. I think toy brands will follow suit. I mean, we've seen Lego have Braille bricks, which is just phenomenal. That's amazing. But I'd like to see where it goes. I think big launches like this, I know when I did Pantene, people do follow. Navalens is becoming more widely spread on all different products in the supermarket now, and I'm constantly hearing about new designs of Navalens, and which is the code that you scan with a free app on your phone. People are printing it on packaging, and it allows you to hear the ingredients and what's kind of the product you're holding is in more detail with your smartphone. It is the beginning of the toy market kind of being held to account with Barbie.
Now, we know that Blind Barbie has only just recently been released, but have you received any feedback on Blind Barbie from the blind and partially sighted community?
I have. It's amazing. I think A lot of people who are messaging me, number one, are saying, I absolutely love the representation. This is amazing. I would have only dreamed of this when I was a little girl, which is so my opinion of it. Like, that is what the first thing that I thought when I held her for the first time. We would love different cane tips. I've heard that, I've heard that in my comments over the past 24 hours. Barbie's cane at the moment, it's an American version of the cane, so how can we have a British version as well? We also want different tips, like we've got the marshmallow tip, what can we do? And also maybe even different skins of it. So I'd love to see like a glittery cane, which is what I was holding on all the press shots. As I say, like the main top comment of like everybody, sighted or non-sighted, are saying we'd love to see a guide dog. The thoughts behind that with the initial launch is that children don't typically have guide dogs. Like I know that I didn't have a guide dog when I was younger. Obviously, guide dogs for the blind in the UK, they say that you can have a guide dog at any age as long as they assess you, which is so totally true. But typically, what you would interact with as a child initially is your long white cane.
What would be your message to children who, are about to soon play with Blind Barbie for the first time?
Oh, that you're going to have the best time. I love the fact that this is the first Fashionista doll as well that has that her elbows move, because we want to be able to sweep that long white cane. If Barbie can be anything, you can be anything. And now she represents you. I absolutely love that. Barbie, a part of our culture, and now looks like us, and we can dream bigger than we ever have before. And that's what I love about her. And she opens up so many more possibilities. So just have fun, play with Blind Barbie with anyone that you come across, all your friends. Like, I'm sure they'll love it too. Blind Barbie is not just for the blind, she's for the sighted too.
What a fantastic message to end on, Lucy Edwards, broadcaster, journalist, content creator, speaker, and disability activist. Thank you very much for joining us here to talk all things Blind Barbie on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.